Lecture 16, Genetic Influences on Personality.
Many forces have combined over a number of years to make you who you are today. The way you were raised by your parents and other caregivers, the relationships that you've had with various people, your family, friends, lovers, teachers, coaches, and others, what you've learned, the experiences that you've had, even seemingly trivial things, such as the TV shows that you've watched and the books that you've read. But the very first influences that have affected who you are began much earlier, literally at the moment of conception. At that moment, when the genetic material provided by your mother and your father combined, processes were set in motion that have guided your development all along. On several previous occasions, I have mentioned, more or less in passing, that a particular trait has a genetic component. But perhaps it's time to take a close look at what that means and the ways in which the genes that you inherited from your parents have contributed to your personality. The field of psychology has been roiled by many debates over the years, but one of the most long-standing controversies is the classic nature-nurture debate. By nature, of course, we're talking about the genetic factors that influence who we are, what we're born with. By nurture, we mean all of the environmental variables that influence who we are. Not only how we were raised, which is what most people think about when they hear the word nurture, but also our personal experiences, our social relationships, and the influence of the surrounding culture. Psychology inherited the nature-nurture debate from philosophy, where philosophers such as René Descartes argued in favor of nature, and philosophers such as Thomas Hobbes and John Locke argued for nurture. Without the research tools needed to resolve the question, the debate dragged on for hundreds of years. But with advances in research designs, statistical methods, and our understanding of genetics, we have made substantial progress over the past 50 years, and I'm happy to announce that the war is over and the nature-nurture debate is dead. There is no doubt whatsoever that personality is influenced by both nature and nurture, by both genes and the environment. And this is true of almost every major personality characteristic that has been studied. In retrospect, the nature-nurture controversy was a silly debate, and it's hard to understand why anyone would have thought that personality was due only to nature or only to nurture. But with the debate laid to rest, we've moved beyond asking whether personality is affected by nature or by nurture to more nuanced questions, such as how strong the effect of genes versus the environment is for particular traits. Some traits are more strongly affected by genes than other traits are. And we can examine the relative influence of genes and environment for particular characteristics. We can also ask questions about how genes and environment interact to affect personality. For example, we now know that certain genes affect people's personalities only if the person grows up in a particular kind of environment. And we can ask interesting questions about ways in which genetic influences can affect people's environments, which really complicates the picture. The idea that genes can affect the environment might initially sound nonsensical to you, but we'll take a look at how it works in a minute. Most of the work on genetic influences on personality has been conducted by researchers in behavioral genetics, which is an interdisciplinary field that studies the genetic and environmental influences on personality and behavior. It's essentially the field that studies questions about nature and nurture. The goal of behavioral genetics is to document how much genetic and environmental factors influence behavior and to study the ways in which genes and environment operate, both individually and together, to produce differences in personality. The label behavioral genetics is a bit of a misnomer because it implies that the field focuses only on behavior and genes. In reality, researchers in behavioral genetics study the influence of both genes and the environment on behavior. In fact, it's essentially impossible to study the influence of genes without studying the environment as well. The central concept that we need to understand in order to make sense out of research findings in behavioral genetics is the concept of heritability. I'll be referring to heritability every time that I mention genetic influences on particular traits. So let's start there. Heritability is a concept in genetics that is defined as the proportion of phenotypic variants in a trait that is attributable to genetic variants. Now, unless you're a biologist or a geneticist, that definition might sound unnecessarily complex and filled with jargon. So let me unpack it. Again, heritability is the proportion of phenotypic variants in a trait that is attributable to genetic variants. What does that mean? Phenotypic variance is simply the observed variability in some characteristic. Normally, biologists think about variability in an animal's physical characteristics. But for behavioral geneticists, phenotypic variance is the variability that we observe in some behavior or in some psychological characteristic across people. Consider the trait of extroversion. People vary a great deal in how extroverted they are, from people who are very low in extroversion to those who are very high. For example, scores on one measure of extroversion can range from 12 to 60. A behavioral geneticist would say that there is phenotypic variance in extroversion. And if we had extroversion scores from a large sample of people, we could calculate a statistic that expresses how much variance in extroversion there is among people. That is, we could get a number that tells us how much phenotypic variance exists in extroversion. The question for behavioral geneticists is this: how much of that variability, how much of the phenotypic variance is due to genetic differences among people? Specifically, they want to know what proportion of the phenotypic variance in extroversion is due to genetic variance. This is the heritability, the proportion of phenotypic variance in a trait that is attributable to genetic variance. As a proportion, the heritability of a trait can range from 0 to 1. A heritability of 0 would indicate that none of the phenotypic variance in the trait is due to genetics. Genes play no role in this trait. At the upper extreme, a heritability of 1 would indicate that all of the variance in the trait is due to genetics. Although certain physical characteristics, such as eye color, have heritabilities of 1, I'm not aware of any personality trait that is completely determined by genes. So we never see heritabilities of 1 in behavioral genetics. We also rarely see a heritability of 0, as most behavior has at least some small genetic component. In between 0 and 1, the heritability tells us the proportion of variability in the trait that's due to genetic influences. Let me give you a couple of examples. Let's start with the heritability of a physical characteristic, a person's height. We all know that height is inherited. Taller parents tend to have taller children. But how much of the variability that we see in people's height, what proportion of the phenotypic variance in height is due to genetic variability? Research shows that the heritability for height for Americans is 0.87, which means that 87% of the variability we observe in height is due to differences in genes. That's a pretty strong genetic influence. Only 13% of the variability in height is due to non-genetic influences, mostly nutritional factors. The heritability of intelligence, as measured by standard IQ tests, is about 0.5. So 50% of the variability that we see in intelligence across people is due to genetic differences among them. On average, genes account for about half of the phenotypic variance that we see in intelligence across people. And if the heritability is about 0.5, that means that environmental factors affect intelligence about the same amount. But what about personality? Let's start with the big five personality traits. Of course, different studies get slightly different estimates of heritability based on the samples and the specific measures that they use. So what I'm going to give you are average heritabilities across many separate studies, most of which have been conducted in North America, Europe, and Australia. Let's start with extroversion. Extroversion has a heritability of 0.54, which tells us that just over half of the variance we observe in extroversion, 54%, is due to genetic differences among people. Neuroticism is similar. The heritability for neuroticism is 0.49. Again, about half of the variability we see in neuroticism across people is due to genetic factors. The heritability for agreeableness is a bit lower, but still substantial. Its heritability is 0.42. The heritability of conscientiousness is 0.49. And the heritability for openness is highest of the big five, coming in at 0.57. Now, for our purposes, these specific numbers aren't particularly important. The takeaway message here is that when it comes to the five basic dimensions of personality, somewhere between 40% and 60% of the variability that we observe in these traits is due to genetic factors. Genes play a big role in why we are the way we are with respect to the big five traits. But let me make something clear about these numbers. Heritability is a population-based statistic. That means that heritability tells us the proportion of the variability in a trait that is genetic when we consider everyone in a particular population. But heritability does not tell us how much of your personality or my personality is due to genetics. In other words, knowing that the heritability of extroversion is 0.54 does not mean that 54% of your level of extroversion is caused by your genes. It means that 54% of the variability in extroversion that we see across people is due to genetic differences. In fact, there's absolutely no way to know what proportion of a given individual's personality is due to genetic versus environmental influences. That would require measuring all of the genetic and environmental factors that might have affected a person's personality from conception to the present, and then estimating the role that each factor played in the person's personality. It just can't be done. But even though heritability is based on population-level analyses, it does give us a ballpark idea of how much genes versus environment have influenced any one of us. For example, chances are that your standing on the big five traits was influenced about equally by your genes and your environment. But again, for any individual, we don't know exactly. The bottom line is that virtually every personality characteristic shows evidence of being influenced by genes. Of course, their heritabilities differ. Some traits are more strongly influenced by genes than other traits are. But most traits have a genetic basis, and the heritability for most of them falls between about 0.3 and 0.6. About 30% to 60% of the variability in most traits is due to genetic factors. You might be wondering how we estimate the heritability of a trait. Researchers in behavioral genetics use a number of approaches, but most of them come down to comparing the personalities of people who share genes and or share environments. For example, some studies compare the personalities of adopted children to the personalities of both their biological parents and their adoptive parents. If personalities of children who were adopted early in life resemble those of their biological parents more than those of their adoptive parents, then genetic influences appear to be operating. But if they resemble their adoptive parents more than their natural parents, the environment seems to have an effect. Other studies compare monozygotic twins, that is identical twins, to dizygotic or fraternal twins, to see the degree to which monozygotic twins are more similar in their personalities than dizygotic twins are. If monozygotic twins are more similar than dizygotic twins, then genetic factors may be responsible, because monozygotic twins are more similar genetically. This kind of comparison is enhanced when the twins have been either raised together in the same family or raised apart, which permits a more nuanced analysis of genetic and environmental effects. In all of these studies, statistical analyses are conducted to estimate heritability for whatever trait is being studied. Many genetic influences on personality begin to reveal themselves soon after birth. Personality traits that are obvious soon after birth are often called temperaments. Now, in everyday language, we sometimes use the word temperament to refer to personality characteristics that involve people's ways of handling problems and stressful events. We talk about someone having the right temperament for a particular job, for example. But psychologists tend to reserve use of the word temperament for inborn personality characteristics. Researchers have identified a number of characteristics that can be observed soon after birth, although they disagree about how many temperaments there actually are. Perhaps the most obvious temperament in newborns is activity level. Once babies have recovered from their journey into the world, newborns vary a great deal in their level of activity. Some babies squirm and wiggle and flail around, whereas others don't move around very much. And they show a good deal of consistency in activity across situations and time. Squirming babies tend to stay squirmy as they get older, and less active babies remain less active. So differences in activity exist at birth that persist as features of personality. Fearfulness is also considered a temperament. Some babies are more afraid of things from the beginning than other babies are. Researchers have designed some rather diabolical studies in which they present scary things to babies and measure the baby's reactions. Interestingly, the degree to which children react fearfully as young infants predicts their scores on measures of neuroticism as they get older. And not only do some babies get upset more easily, but some babies are easier to soothe when they're upset. Whereas for others, there's not much you can do to make them feel better. Clearly, the basis of low and high neuroticism is present at birth, which makes sense, given that neuroticism is partly heritable. We should be careful not to conclude that all differences that we see among newborns are necessarily genetic. After all, a developing fetus is exposed to environmental influences even before birth. The mother's emotions, nutrition, drug use, and other factors during pregnancy can affect the fetus's developing brain in ways that have implications for personality later on. Even so, most of the differences that we see in personality at birth are probably due to genes. I've been talking about genetic influences on personality traits, but you might be surprised to learn that genes can also play a role in people's attitudes. We usually think of attitudes as something we learn from other people, from our parents or peers or culture at large. But research shows that a wide variety of attitudes have sizable heritabilities. For example, are you for or against the death penalty? Research shows that the heritability of attitudes toward the death penalty is 0.5, just as high as for major personality characteristics. 50% of the variability in people's attitudes toward the death penalty is due to genetic differences. Do you identify yourself as politically liberal or conservative? That's partly inherited too. The heritability of liberalism versus conservatism is 0.43. Or how about your attitude toward organized religion? Its heritability is 0.45. Do you like or dislike exercising? The heritability of attitudes about exercise is 0.36. How much do you like to read? Attitudes toward reading have a heritability of 0.37. Now, not all attitudes have a genetic component, though. For example, the heritability for attitudes toward playing organized sports is perfectly zero. And the heritability of attitudes toward doing crossword puzzles is only 0.02. Only 2% of the variance in liking crossword puzzles is genetic. But what's going on here? How can genes affect our attitudes toward things as diverse as capital punishment and reading, religion, and exercising? To answer that question, let's think more deeply about inherited characteristics. Strictly speaking, even when the heritability of a trait or attitude is high, it's misleading to say that people are inheriting their personality or attitudes, except in a very loose sense. You don't actually inherit your traits or attitudes or behaviors. Rather, what you're inheriting is a nervous system that tends to respond in particular ways. Genes influence the development of our physical body, including the brain and other parts of the nervous system. And that's what you actually inherit. Just as genes can cause people to be tall, or to have bad eyesight, or to have flat feet, genes also influence the structure of our brains. And differences in how the brain operates can lead people to respond in different ways. So, for example, the limbic system is the part of the brain that's directly involved in responding to threatening and stressful events. If your genes led you to have a limbic system that is unusually responsive to threats, you'll probably score high in neuroticism. You'll experience more negative emotions, get upset more easily, and take longer to return to baseline when negative events occur. Strictly speaking, you didn't actually inherit neuroticism. You inherited a brain that has an active limbic system. And likewise, if you inherited a limbic system that's less responsive than average, you'll probably be lower in neuroticism. Researchers have only started to explore the genetically determined differences in people's brains that underlie various personality characteristics. But whatever personality differences among people are due to genetic influences, they must be due to differences in how their brains operate. And the same thing holds for attitudes. People whose brains respond in certain ways will find certain attitudes more agreeable to them than people whose brains respond in other ways. For example, if your genes designed your brain in such a way that you happen to find highly stimulating activities enjoyable, you'll have more positive attitudes towards stimulating activities, and you'll be high in sensation-seeking. The heritability of positive attitudes toward riding roller coasters is 0.37. Of course, your attitude toward roller coasters is also based on your experiences. Perhaps you had particularly good or bad experiences on roller coasters when you were a child, but genes play a role. Similarly, if your genes designed your brain in such a way that makes you prefer stability and dislike change, you're likely to be more traditional and maybe even lean toward conservative ideas. But if your brain leads you to like novelty and to be open to change and to new ideas, you might be more likely to be liberal. Again, your environment, upbringing, and experiences also played a role in your political views. And your environment might even have overridden your inherited inclinations. But by creating a brain that responds in a particular way, your genes probably played a role in your political attitudes. I think about this link between genes and attitudes when I deal with people whose attitudes are so different from mine that I can't begin to fathom how someone could hold such views. I remind myself that my difficulty in understanding this person might lie in the fact that my brain is designed so differently from theirs that I can't even begin to resonate with their attitude. And of course, they don't understand my views either. But keep in mind that it's also possible to develop an attitude that has no apparent genetic basis. If you love doing crossword puzzles, research suggests that the pleasure you take in them comes almost entirely from your experiences and not from your genes. So far, I've been talking about direct genetic effects on brain anatomy and physiology that cause people to respond in particular ways or to have particular attitudes. But genes can influence our personality not only by designing our brain in a particular way, but also by changing our environment in ways that then affect our personality. Now, this may sound absurd. How could my genes possibly affect my environment? But stay with me for a minute. Genes can influence personality in three distinct ways, some of which make it difficult to disentangle the separate influences of genes and environment. Most obviously, genes can affect personality and behavior more or less directly by influencing the brain and other parts of the nervous system. This is the path we've just been discussing. But a second way that genes affect personality arises when genes create a brain that leads people to behave in ways that affect their environment, and then the environment affects the person's personality. This process is called a reactive or evocative gene-environment correlation. In a reactive gene-environment correlation, genes influence the person's behavioral tendencies, as we just discussed. But then those behavioral tendencies cause other people to react to the person in a particular way. When lots of other people treat the person in this way, it can have a lasting effect on the person's personality. So the person's genes directly affected the nervous system and led to certain patterns of behavior, which led to certain reactions from other people, which affected the person's personality. Imagine the genes create a brain that leads a child to be more responsible and mature than most of his classmates at school. Seeing this, parents and teachers give the child extra responsibilities and more freedoms than they give other kids. And giving him more responsibility affects his personality over time. Maybe these experiences lead him to develop leadership skills that he wouldn't have developed otherwise. Or let's say that genes create a brain that leads a child to be obstinate and disobedient. Parents and teachers will often respond to his antics negatively or even punitively, and they'll probably try extra hard to control the kid. All of that negative attention and control by adults will probably affect the child's personality development in one way or another. In these examples, are these effects genetic or environmental? I guess they're both, but the picture is complicated by the fact that the genes fostered in an environment that then affected personality. A third way that genes can influence personality is known as an active gene-environment correlation. In an active gene-environment correlation, genes create a brain that is associated with certain motives, interests, preferences, or behaviors. And these genetically influenced inclinations lead the person to gravitate towards certain environments and activities. Then, spending time in those particular environments affects the person's personality. Imagine 2 7-year-old children. One is sociable and confident and likes speaking in public. And the other is reserved and dislikes being the center of attention. We might expect that these children will gravitate towards somewhat different activities and interests. The first child may spend more time in social interactions and start volunteering for things in which she can be in charge. The other might gravitate more toward introverted kinds of activities. Over time, their experiences in these different kinds of settings will have cumulative effects on their personalities. Spending time in the spotlight, taking leadership roles, and being in charge promote different interests and skills than staying in the background and being a follower. In both the reactive and active gene-environment correlation, what starts out as a genetic effect on the nervous system creates different environments, either by affecting how other people treat the person or by leading the person to select different environments and activities. In both cases, the environment created by the person's own actions then influences his or her personality. Let me conclude by describing a puzzle that emerged from research on genetic and environmental effects on personality, and that once befuddled psychologists. In studying personality development during the 1960s and 70s, researchers initially found evidence suggesting that parents have little or no effect on their children's personalities. That's right. The studies showed that although parents clearly affected children's beliefs, attitudes, and habits to some degree, they didn't seem to have much of an effect on kids' personality traits. Of course, children's personalities often resemble those of their parents, as well as their brothers and sisters, but those similarities appeared to be mostly a genetic effect and not an effect of the home environment. To make this point clear, consider adoptive siblings, children who have different biological parents but are raised by the same adoptive parents. Many researchers reason that if parents affect their children's personalities, we should find that adopted kids raised by the same non-biological parents should be somewhat similar to each other. But they aren't. Studies showed that two adopted children raised in the same home by the same parents are no more similar than, on average, than any two random people. Such findings seem to suggest that parents don't have any effect on their children's personalities. Of course, that seems ridiculous. It certainly seems that parents affect how their kids turn out. Well, to make a long story short, as researchers dug deeper into this puzzle, what they found was that parents do indeed affect their children's personalities, but those effects differ across their kids. In other words, parents affect their children, but they affect different children in different ways. To understand why, consider two things. First, parents tailor their parenting practices to particular children, as they should, which creates differences in how kids grow up. Not only that, but even when parents treat their children the same, the kids may respond differently to exactly the same treatment. Given that siblings differ from each other genetically, they often don't respond the same way even when the parents treat them the same. So parents do influence their children's personalities, but they don't affect all of their children in the same way. So once again, the bottom line is that genes play an important role in personality, but so do a variety of environmental influences, including what parents do. We'll be talking more about some of these environmental influences in the future.